Good afternoon and welcome to Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges and this is Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. Today, my guest is Jim Babjack. Jim is a co-founding member and guitarist of New Jersey's The Smithereens. They've been around since 1980, had their first hit in 86, and we're going to talk to Jim about their tour, losing their frontman, lead singer, and friend, and carrying on without him. Joining them on their current tour is Marshall Crenshaw, another veteran rocker from the 1980s. We're going to find out how that's working out and the tour that's bringing the Smithereens and Marshall Crenshaw to Memorial Opera House in Valparaiso. But first, let's go back to their breakout hit. This is from 1986. This is Blood and Roses, Smithereens. Jim Babjack joins us after this. Blood and Roses, that's the song that started it all for the Smithereens. They came from Jersey. The 80s were the era that introduced us to this great band. And they're out there touring still. They've had a lot of changes in their lineup. They're going to be coming to the Memorial Opera House, Brightside Music. Rob Harkle is bringing them back to this historic venue. And it's going to happen on Saturday, March 16th, the day before St. Pat's. So plan to celebrate with the Smithereens as you wear your shamrocks that day. Joining me now is Mr. Jim Babjack, member of the Smithereens, not just a member, but a co-founding member, who has been there since day one. Jim, welcome.
Hey, how you doing? That's what we say in Jersey. Sorry.
You're like the '80s era Jersey boys.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have the hair, you know, the '80s hair. We were kind of left to the dial, you know.
That's true. 1980. You, Dennis Deacon, Mike Massaros, and Pat Denizio, of course, debuted the Smithereens, and for 26 years, uninterrupted, you guys stayed together. That is a very long time. So let's start with, what was the secret? Of course, there's been some changes since, but what was the secret to keeping the Smithereens on track and moving forward as you did all those years through the different trends and changes and the upswing and the demise of MTV, and well, you're one of the few bands of that era that maintained it?
Well, you know, we were never in it to be rock stars. We all had this collective passion for music, particularly rock and roll. And I think that's what it comes from, that and growing up in a blue-collar town, work ethic, working hard, and just doing what you believe in. That when we recorded that first album, there was no record company involvement or no market research or anything. We were just doing what we wanted to do, and we're still doing it. There's no reason to give up. If you know, people come and enjoy the show, and it goes both ways. I enjoy it too very much. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it.
You guys are very much a live band. There are certain bands that rock in the studio and can't do it live, and some that are great live and can't do it in the studio. You guys have mastered both realms of the recording business and the performing business. Is that because of the fact that between 1980 and 1986, you were spending a lot of time honing your chops together as a unit, getting that chemistry firing up? Because the first album, I believe, was 86.
Yeah, we had two independent records out before that. And, honing our chops. I guess you could call it that, or you could call it, well, we couldn't get a record deal right away. we just kept going, plowing through, and just, you know, we would travel outside of New Jersey. We'd go to Ohio and Boston and, try to expand. But it was kind of fruitless because without radio airplay, you really couldn't get any momentum. And it wasn't until that first album that we gained that momentum. And then all of a sudden, we were an overnight success after 6 years.
Right. Once the MTV jumped on board, once you guys had a hit with the song Blood and Roses, how did things change? I mean, like you said, it was almost like an overnight change. You guys were suddenly discovered after all those years of beating the clubs. What was the change as far as your everyday style or life as a band?
Well, I owned a record store at the time, and record and VHS tape rentals. as soon as Blood and Roses hit the airwaves, I got a call from LA, Los Angeles, saying that they want to do a video for the song. So, I mean, things change automatically. I had one of my customers walk in, and I knew he was unemployed at the time, and I said, Jeff, what are you doing now for the next 10 days? I got to go to Los Angeles and film a video. And he says, oh, no problem, I'll work. Well, what happened was he ended up working at my store for the next 3 years.
Wow.
Because what happened after that video, we were signed to Premier Talent, a booking agent who was booking The Who and Tom Petty and Bruce Springsteen and the Ramones. So they put us out on the road immediately. I mean, our first gig was opening for ZZ Top in an arena in West Virginia.
Wow.
And it was just crazy. And then as the album built momentum, we toured the country 3 times. After we did some opening slots, we opened for the Ramones for 3 weeks, and then we opened for a couple other bands, and then we went on our own, and we found ourselves in LA like 3 times, or Chicago 3 times, and all the major cities. We just keep coming back every time they released Behind the Wall of Sleep as a single after that too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it changed drastically for me.
Wow. I remember spinning Blood and Roses in the clubs back then. That was like the hot request, and you guys just ignited. It was crazy. As a former record store guy, I own a record store now, and I was in the business back in the 70s and early 80s as well. What are your thoughts on vinyl, and do you think we're going to see Smithereens catalog pieces and or any new recordings come out on vinyl? Are you thinking that this is going to last again, or is it a niche?
I don't know, but I never gave up vinyl. I still play it to this day, especially when I'm home and cooking, or just listening. I'll put on a record. I have it in this part of my house where you can hear it in the family room, in the kitchen, and in the library. So it permeates the house, and there's nothing like it. I have thousands of records.
Right.
I'm actually thinking about opening up a record store again. but yeah, there will be releases in the future. Hopefully new stuff, and maybe even some old stuff that nobody's ever heard before.
Yeah, I've still got 11 on vinyl. That's one of my prized possessions, and I refuse to sell that one. I'm like, I'm not giving that one up. So it'd be nice to see a lot of that come out, that 180-gram stuff where they're reissuing. And I just think Smithereens would turn on a whole new generation if we could get it to vinyl again, because the young kids are just eating it up.
Yeah, they are. My youngest son is 24, and he loves vinyl. That's what he's... it's just great. And he's raiding my collection, but I told him he can't have it until, not for a little while.
All right. Let's get to another tune. You mentioned Behind the Wall of Sleep. That was the follow-up single, and that was another one that is a staple, at least when I've seen you in concert. So we're going to play that now. We'll be back in just a moment with Mr. Jim Babjack of the Smithereens.
She had hair like Jeannie Shrimp turned back. Murderer.
Behind the Wall of Sleep, classic Smithereens going back to the early days of the band. They're still together, they're still touring, and they're coming to Valparaiso once again. Brightside Music bringing them on March 16th, the Saturday performance, with a very special guest, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But we mentioned earlier, Jim, that you guys had the lineup together for many, many years. Mike left in 2006, but he's back with the group. What prompted his leaving and returning? Was that just a personal thing that he needs some time off?
It's a little complicated. I mean, Mike started having children later on in life, and my kids are already in their 30s and 20s, and he wanted to raise a family, and I think what happened, and then also my wife, 40 years, she just passed away a couple of years ago from pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to Mike on the phone, and I said, you know, life is really short. Why don't you come back and, let's reunite the old foursome, you know. And then, of course, Pat got sick, and then right. He passed away.
Yeah.
There have been some major changes. And, I'm looking on Facebook, and people are dying young. It's just incredible that... The drummer for Let's Active just passed away, and then that actor from
Luke Perry.
Beverly Hills is 90102.
Yeah,
and it's just it's incredible. So yeah, life is short, and you gotta make the best of it. I forgot what the original question was.
Oh, it was just what brought him back to the lineup again, and why he had left. Because I know you guys were tight friends, and I never got the impression it was any kind of problems. It just that it was time for him to step away for a while, and I just wondered why. And glad that he's back, happily returning to the group. Of course, we did lose Pat in 2017, and that was a big blow to the band. You filled the void with a very incredible singer-songwriter, performer in his own right, Mr. Marshall Crenshaw, and I do want to talk about that in just a second. But I would think that with Pat being sick, and as much as Pat loved the Smithereens, did you guys have any conversations like if something were to happen, should you keep it going? Should you retire it? I mean, you're friends first, and I just wondered the chemistry there and the dialogue that might have happened.
Yeah. I mean, we decided that our collective musical legacy should move on because, if you stay away, you'll be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And plus the music gives people so much joy and happiness, and as it does to us. Why stop that? It's it needs to carry on and continue. It's still a living, breathing band, and I had this discussion with Mike the other day. If I pass, I hope that they continue without me as well.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Okay. You're listening to Midwest Beat here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming at lakeshorepublicradio.org. My guest is Jim Babjack. He's a co-founding member and guitarist of the Smithereens, who are coming to Valparaiso's Memorial Opera House on Saturday, March 16th. So let's get into another song that the Smithereens took up the charts. How about this one? I bet you'll recognize it. Feel free to sing along.
I have to do just to win the love.
Like You. Smithereens sang that one back in the 1980s, and they're still singing it today. In fact, you'll probably hear them perform that song on Saturday, March 16th at Memorial Opera House in Valparaiso. Brightside Music is bringing them back to the region, and I've got Jim Babjack back with us now on Midwest Beat. Jim, having talked to the late, great Pat D'Annunzio many times in the past, and knowing his passion for the Smithereens, and I would think that he would want you to carry on as you have. And I honestly think he would have really been happy with the selection of Marshall Crenshaw.
They just seem like they have a lot in common historically. They're both huge Beatle fans and things like that. And he fits the group. I think the musical style is the same era, the same mindset, the same work ethic, because Marshall's never stopped. He continues to release stuff and tour on his own and now with you guys. How has the fit been, and were there any others on the list at this point?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was a show scheduled while Pat was still alive at the Count Basie Theater in Jersey, and after Pat died, the Little Steven, the promoter, he suggested we use a bunch of different singers. And I thought that was interesting. We had about 18 different singers, from B.B. Buell to Ted Leo to Lynn Marshall, Robin Wilson, Peter Zaremba from the Fleshtones, Richard Barone. It was great hearing our songs with all these different takes on it and styles of singing. Now, Marshall goes back with us to 1980. We opened up for him around his first album, and then we few friends, and he actually plays keyboards on our first album, especially for you, on a song called Strangers When We Meet. And he also plays a six-string baritone guitar on Like Castle Blues. So we go way back. He's the pseudonym of Jerome on that first album, so people wouldn't know that it's Marshall Crenshaw. But, you know, and then we've toured together throughout the years and always kept in touch. So, you know, it was a great fit. Mm-hmm. And he was a standout at the Count Basie show, as was Robin Wilson, who is joining us in later in March. We're playing in Florida. And now Robin Wilson, he's younger. He's more of the 90s. He's the lead singer of the Gin Blossoms. And he was working as a record store clerk at Zeta Records in Tempe, Arizona, when we came through on our Green Thoughts tour, signing autographs, doing an in-store. So he's got pictures of us from that era, and he came to the show that night, and you know, he says that we were an influence on the Gin Blossoms. So, you know, we're lucky that all these singers are making themselves available, even though they're still touring and doing their own shows. Marshall's out there doing his own shows. Gin Blossoms are out there, and the others that you know, are a possibility.
Right.
So, yeah, and we do Smithereens songs. We don't do Marshall Crenshaw songs or Gin Blossom songs, because they do that on their own.
Right.
And this is just to you know, keep our legacy going.
Right. The one that surprised me on that list was B.B. Buell. I'm trying to envision her fronting the band. I love her, don't get me wrong, but I'm just trying to see this mashup in my head.
She was great. There's actually on YouTube, you could find, she covered one of our songs, Top of the Pops, back in the 90s.
I didn't realize that.
You know, and we go back with her also. I remember visiting her back in Liv Tyler. I don't know if that was her name then, because she didn't know that Stevie Tyler was her dad at the time, but
right.
I remember seeing her when she was 10 years old, you know. So yeah, we go way back with B.B. also.
Wow. Let's let's go back to the song you mentioned earlier that kind of puts you in touch with Marshall. Let's do Strangers When We Meet. And when we get back, we'll talk again with Mr. Jim Babjack, co-founder and guitarist of the Smithereens. We'll talk about the show and the future of the Smithereens. This is Strangers When We Meet on Midwest Beats, Lakeshore Public Radio.
Thank you.
Strangers When We Meet. Early stuff from the Smithereens, a band that is going strong all these years later. Formed in 80, released their first album, including that, in 1986. And here we are in 2019, and they're coming back to Valparaiso for yet another visit. You guys have played Memorial Opera House, Jim, a lot with Rob over the years. What's your thoughts on the venue?
Oh, man, I love the venue. It's I just always like the vibe there. And I think there's an Italian restaurant across the street or something where they fed us, and it was pretty good.
Yeah, there is. There
yeah,
is.
I remember that.
We were talking about the set list, and even though Marshall Crenshaw is fronting the band for this leg of the tour, you're not doing any of the Marshall songs, but you guys do have a penchant for pulling out and performing the strangest sometimes of cover songs in your shows. And given that you're at Memorial Opera House the day before St. Pat's, will you be slipping in any traditional Irish tunes or classic Irish rocker tunes?
Well, you know, I'll do my part. You know, I'll have some Guinness, which I usually do anyway. But I don't know about any traditional Irish songs. I'll leave that up to the experts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll all be wearing green that day, at the very least, as we drink the Guinness. In past interviews with Pat over the different years, he talked a lot about the Beatles and the guy who most inspired the Beatles, which was Buddy Holly. They were big influences on Pat. Who were your influences as a young musician growing up before the Smithereens, when you first picked up your instruments? Who did you emulate? Who did you look to? Who did you admire?
Well, it was the Beatles, of course. I was of that age. I was 7 years old when they were on Ed Sullivan. But my parents, I was too young to play guitar then. My parents got me accordion lessons, which was not very hip. And as a matter of fact, Mike Mazaros, our bass player, had the same accordion teacher as I at the same time. We were we went to the same church. We had our communion together in 1964. So we go way back too, and it wasn't until about 1968 that I got my first guitar, and you know I really got into the Who, and the Kinks, and a lot of British bands, and then during the disco era, I started looking back more at Elvis, Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry. I started playing his riffs through the Rolling Stones, because I had Get Your Ya-Ya's out, and I remember O'Carroll, the Chuck Berry song that the Stones covered back then.
All right.
That was like my first attempt at playing lead guitar. So it was Chuck Berry through the Stones that got me going.
You guys recorded not one but two Beatle tribute albums over the years.
Three.
I'm not even familiar with that one. I've got the B-sides and Meet the Smithereens. What was the other one?
The third one is a recreation of the Beatles' first Washington, D.C. concert in February of 1964. So we did the... we played the same concert. It was a nice little project. It's I think it's only available through a website. That's probably why you might not have heard it. It wasn't really a commercial release per se. It was more like a fan club release.
So we can find all that at the official smithereens.com website. And you got to put the official in there, folks. It's officialsmithereens.com is where you'll find all the details. That's the official website for the band, and I'm assuming all the tour dates are up there and when you're swapping out singers and things. So you mentioned Robbie stepping in when Marshall leaves. Is it the fall?
Oh, Robin?
Yeah.
No, at the end of March.
Okay.
In Florida. It depends on when everybody's available. And Susan Cowsill is also interested. We built way back with the Cowsills as well. They sang on a song of mine called Now and Then back in 1990. And we remain friends. And I think it'd be really cool to have a female singer on our songs, too. So there's that, Ted Leo, and there's a bunch of people in the running, too.
Okay, so this looks like it's going to be an ongoing situation, then, where you'll be guesting special vocalists for the near future. before maybe settling down somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, we were never interested in getting the sound alike. We're not... That, to me, that's a little creepy.
Right.
And it works for other bands, and you probably know the bands out there that have the sound alikes.
Yeah, it is a little creepy.
We were never interested in that. We're not that kind of band, anyway. You know, as long as the singer captures the essence of the song and is really passionate about it, like us, they're in.
What about recording? And the reason I ask is I'm friends with Paul Rodgers, of course, of Bad Company Free Fame, but he went out with Queen, and a lot of people were like, wow, that really doesn't fit, but yet it did. He brought his own style to their music and vice versa when they played Bad Company and Free songs. But they recorded a studio album as well as a live album and had a minor hit with Celebrity, a great single. It definitely didn't sound like Queen, but it had its own uniqueness. Do you guys think you may record even live stuff with some of these guest singers and release it as a compilation of sorts?
Oh, absolutely. It's been talked about, and it's not sure exactly how it's going to work, but we are planning it. You know, Robin and I have talked about it, and Marshall, and even Susan Castle. So, it's still going to sound like the band, because you got the three guys that played on the records and came up with their own parts and everything, you know. And it's definitely in the works. I'm excited about it. We just have to figure out everybody's schedule.
I would love to hear Susan sing with you. A lot of people just dismiss the Cowsills as a teen pop band of the past, but she's done some amazing stuff that's kind of off the radar. I remember when she was with a group called Contraband, and they did All the Way to Memphis and some really incredible stuff. She's got a great voice.
She's got a great range, and her solo albums are fantastic. Yeah.
Let's play a cover song. Let's do a Beatles tune. How about, I'll let you pick. Two of my favorites are You Can't Do That and All My Loving. Either of those favorites of yours?
You Can't Do That.
All right. This is the Smithereens covering the Beatles. We'll be back a final time with Jim Babjack and the Smithereens.
I've got something to say that might cause you pain. If I can't keep talking to the boy again, I'm gonna let you down and leave you crying. Because I told you before, oh, you can't do that. Well, it's the second time I caught you talking to him. Till I have to tell you one more time, I think it's a sin. I think I let you down. I told you before, oh, you can't do that. Everybody's green, 'cause I'm the only one you'll love. But if they see you talking that way, they laugh in my face. So please listen to me if you want to stand my. I can't help my feelings, I go out of my mind. I'll let you down and leave you fly. Because I told you before, oh, you can't do that. Feelings I go out of my mind. I think I let you down. Because I told you before, oh, you can't do that.
you can't do that. Yes, you can, because they do anything they want. They can cover just about anybody. They are the Smithereens. They came from Jersey, and they're coming to Valpo at the Memorial Opera House. Brightside Music's bringing them. It's Saturday, March 16th. Yours truly, Tom Lounges, will definitely be there for that show. I love these guys, and if you haven't seen them, you need to. This will be your final chance for a while anyway to see them with Marshall Crenshaw. They've got the rotating cast of singers, as we've been discussing. Jim is with us now. What's going on with the tour as far as how long do you see yourself being out on the road?
We are one of those bands that have always been on the road. So it's never really a tour. It's just we're constantly playing.
Kind of like Bob Dylan's never-ending tour?
It's a never-ending tour, and it's been like that ever since 1986.
Wow.
I mean, it was more sporadic before that, but and it's a little sporadic now. Well, here's the thing. Our drummer, Dennis, also plays drums with Dave Davies at the Kinks and for Ronnie Spector.
Mm.
So, we have to fit our schedules in with his as well. It gets a little complicated, but we're always on the road.
Well, Dave, we just booked Dave here in Hobart, Indiana at the Art Theater. He'll be here in April as well, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, so Dennis will be there. And okay. I won't. Because Dave doesn't need another guitar player.
Right. Hey, maybe we can package you guys together, and that way Dennis can do double duty.
We actually did that in at one of Rob's other places, the near Chicago. We did double bill. And Robin Wilson was with us for that one, too.
Mm.
The Arcata. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Arcata up in St. Charles.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's Ron Onesti.
Yeah, we played there last year with Dave Davies. Oh, we opened for Dave.
Wow. Very, very cool. Yeah. So what's
so
left?
So Dennis played both sets. Yeah, go ahead.
What's left on your bucket list, Jim, professionally?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I mean, I never really thought about that. You know, I just wanna keep playing. You know, there are things like I hope maybe someday I can go back on Saturday Night Live. You know, with some new material and with you know what? You caught me off guard. I really don't have a
bucket list. All right.
So you got me there.
So,
I just want to keep playing. That's my bucket list. I just want to keep playing.
Now you've got a full time gig, which I didn't realize. You're still doing the day job. How do you balance that with playing out as much as you guys do?
It's not easy at all. Obviously I use my vacation time to go out on tours, and I end up using it all up. I'm actually jealous of some of my coworkers, and I'm like, oh, I got like 3 weeks left and rolling over to the next year. I'm like, you're kidding me. there's health insurance, which is very important, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I took this job back in 2001 when things weren't going so well for the band. Not well, but we weren't really playing a lot of shows. We were still playing maybe once or twice a month, but it just wasn't enough to cover my mortgage and stuff like that and
right.
health insurance. So, and I have three boys that were still in school at the time. So I took the job, and I'm just vested now, so it is hard. A funny moment happened. We were asked by Tom Petty to go on tour with him back in 2013, and I had to ask permission from my boss to get away for a certain time of the year, and where they don't allow people to take off. And I told her, and she never heard of Tom Petty.
Oh, boy.
So, and it's kind of an interesting thing, because where I work, I just blend in with everybody, and they don't really know that I'm a musician.
Okay.
They kind of do, but they have no idea. Yeah, so it's funny, my boss never heard of Tom Petty, or you too, for that matter. I mean, the people that I work with are, Chinese, Japanese, Trinidad, all different, and they're just into that line of work. They don't really listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of good. I kind of like the balance. I like that part of it.
So you're a little bit anonymous at work.
I explained it well, but...
Yeah, you certainly did. Is there anything, Jim, that we haven't talked about you'd like to let fans know, either about the band or any events you've got coming up?
Well, we are nominated to be in the New Jersey Hall of Fame, and we should be making an announcement pretty soon, I think. And hopefully we'll get in. And that could be exciting. Maybe I won't have to take my shoes off at the airport.
And your belt.
What's that?
And your belt.
Yeah, right.
That's the part that I don't like.
Hopefully there'll be some perks from that.
Yeah. One final song I'd like to play, and that is another one that I've always enjoyed hearing you play, and that is The House We Used to Live In. Is there a special story behind that song? Because it seems like every time I've seen you, that is one song, obviously besides a couple of the hits, that is always in the set list.
Yeah. Well, it was really close to Pat's heart, because his dad lost the house to the IRS, he didn't pay his back taxes or something. So that inspired Pat to write that song. I think a lot of people can relate to the house that they grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a very, it's a thing that sticks in your mind.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a song that people can relate to, for sure.
All right. Keep up with the Smithereens. Again, www.officialsmithereens.com is the website. You guys are on Facebook and Twitter and all that other stuff as well, correct?
Yeah, I actually do look at it.
Oh,
when my boss isn't looking.
Of course. Memorial Opera House, Valparaiso, Brightside Music's bringing them on Saturday, March 16th. And there's no opening act, I don't think, on that bill. So it'll be an evening with the Smithereens featuring Marshall Crenshaw on the lead vocals and guitar.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Jim, thank you so much. We're going to close out here with The House We Used to Live In, and I do appreciate you giving me some time today.
My pleasure. Yeah, and we'll hoist the Guinness on that day.
I agree. I think many of them. Plenty of pints in the green room.
I won't be driving.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Take care.
Midwest Beat, Tom Lounges, Lakeshore Public Radio, The House We Used to Live In. Smithereens, again, keep up with them at officialsmithereens.com. Here's the tune.